So excited about what God has to share with our hearts today. And I just pray that, let's just stop and pray this morning. Just close your eyes. God, I just pray that you would open up our hearts, God. Lord, I pray that we would receive what you have to say today. Lord, speak through me today, God. And I pray that you would correct things in between my mouth and their ears, and they would hear the words of God this morning and what they're supposed to hear, and that you would change our hearts and make us into the image of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. So we've been talking about sowing and reaping. Kind of the couple points that we've kind of covered so far is this idea that you're always, always sowing and reaping. You're always sowing something, and you can't, like, you can't opt out. There's no box to check to say, you know what, I just am not into that. I'm not reaping. Sorry, you can't leave the crops in the field. They're going to come in, right? And no matter what we're doing, we're always sowing seeds. And we found out that they can be good seeds, they can be bad seeds. Some of the garbage that some of us are, probably not you guys, I'm probably just talking about me. Some of the garbage that we go through in our life is from seeds that we've sown a month ago, 2 months ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. We sow seeds, and God's law, it's a law. It's a law of sowing and reaping. The law says it's going to give us a harvest. So if you've sowed seeds of bad attitudes or lies, or we won't go with anymore because I'm sure none of you have done any of that stuff. All of your seeds are good. So some people out there have bad seeds sometimes, and you get a bad harvest from that. And we also found out that good seeds produce good harvest. Man, earlier I said we plan for success. We plan to be blessed. We plan, like, decide what you want your life to look like. And I don't mean that in an arrogant, without God kind of way. I mean, according to the Word of God, how you want to see your victorious living life, and then sow seeds that look like that. Well, I don't know if I could do that. Well, just sow little seeds, because we're always sowing these little seeds. And so that's always creating a harvest. Last time we talked about the gap. There's a lull between planting and harvesting. Okay, you guys have seen, we keep having tractors drive by. Oh, I forgot to tell you this. There was a tractor that drove by that I don't think was yours. And Callie was on the deck. And I don't know how she knows this, but she yells out, Alan! Like, huh. I didn't know that she knew what a tractor was and that you drove one. So maybe it was something else, but it sure sounded like Alan to me. So we'll go with that. So you're seeing all these tractors planting. You guys are planting gardens. You know, we're planting grass in different places. We're putting seed in the ground. And how silly is it if you run out there tomorrow and are looking for, oh, there's nothing here. It must have not worked. We all know that there's a season, right? There's a planting season, and then there's a gap. And we got to not lose heart. Two things in the gap that can happen. We got to not lose heart. Oh, man, I did all these good things, and now there's still bad stuff happening. There's a gap there. Let the seed germinate. Let it grow. Let it start to produce a harvest, because that doesn't happen in one day. And then the bad seeds that we planted in the gap, we think we're getting away with it. Ooh. Because you plant those bad seeds, nothing happens. I got away with it. I had a bad attitude, and I'm not reaping anything from it. And we think that we didn't get caught. We didn't get found out. Guess what's happening under the ground? Got a big, bad, nasty harvest coming that we sowed. We partook in the law of God, and we sowed these bad seeds. So it's just this idea of watching what we're saying, what we're thinking, what we're doing, our attitudes about things, and lining all this up with godly attitudes, because God promised. He put it in place as a blessing, but because of the fall, that law still works. And now it works for the bad stuff too. Say ouch. Yeah, it works for the bad stuff too. So we're going to talk a little different concept of sowing and reaping today. We are talking sowing and reaping, but we're talking about us being the field and God being the sower. Interesting. So we're going to be going to Mark chapter 4 today, and we're going to read some, and we're actually going to read through that entire parable and comment on it. And I just believe that this is going to stir your heart. So if you've got your Bible, it's all going to be up here, but if, as Stephen would say, if you've got your Bibles, follow along in your own Bible, in your own version that you're comfortable with. And Mark chapter 4 is where we're heading. Oh yeah, I did this again. Starting at verse 1 in Mark chapter 4, again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by, say it with me, parables. And in his teaching, he said, we're not going to get there quite yet, but how many of you, raise your hand if you've ever heard of a parable before. You've heard the term, okay? Do most of you feel like you know what a parable is? Raise your hand if you're kind of sure if you think you know what a parable is. We're a little less hesitant, or a little more hesitant on that. There's so many different kinds of genres of scripture. There's history literature, there's prophetic literature, there's poetry, there's gospels. And one of the literary devices, the teaching styles that Jesus used, was a parable. A parable. And the word for parable means to cast alongside. Well, that sounds silly. To cast alongside. It means to throw something out alongside of something, and the second thing will help explain the first thing. You see, a parable talks about something that we should know. We should know how the parable works. It's something that's familiar to us to explain something that's unfamiliar to us. There's lessons, and there's like workings, how things work, that Jesus explained in parables that explain the thing that's unknown to us. And so often, he talked about the kingdom of God a lot. And we didn't have a frame of reference for the kingdom. How often did Jesus say things like, are you so dull? He would say things like that. He would say, how are you ever going to understand anything? He would say, how long do I put up with you guys? He would say, can you not understand that? He would say, man, you know how to interpret the natural signs. How are you? He said, if I tell you about earthly things and you don't understand, how are you going to understand about heavenly things? He just was constantly saying things like, he was constantly amazed at how slow of understanding we are, right? Like, that's a great thing to be amazed at, isn't it? Oh, gosh. And a parable is taking something that we should know about, we should understand about this, and kind of overlaying it, casting it alongside something that we're completely unfamiliar with. So if I started talking to you about the inner workings of a nuclear submarine, there's probably very few of you guys that are going to have a point of reference for that. Like, you're not going to know the tension that happens in your soul and your emotions from being, like, I've never been on a submarine before, I don't know, but just being away from people and being, you know, I don't know, being in a tube underwater, don't sign me up for that. I don't think that's exciting. Some of you probably think it's great. But if we started saying, well, you need to really you need to put those skills in practice in your life. How many of you think you could do that? Nuclear submarine operator skills. Few of you. Like, I'm surprised how few of you could do that. So my problem is then maybe you guys are just dumb. Or maybe you're just not trying hard enough. And we all know that's not true. Neither of those are true. You're smart. And you really would be like, if life and death hung on from the next 5 minutes, you acting like a submarine, nuclear submarine operator, it didn't matter your level of effort, your level of intensity, your level of want to, the smarts, you just don't have a point of reference for it. You just don't even, I don't even know the first thing I'm supposed to do. I can't try harder. I can't be smarter. I don't even know the first thing about it. I have nowhere to start. And so a parable takes something like that, and it puts something that you're all like, okay, all right, cooking a taco dinner. If I start talking about that, do you kind of have like the first clue? Maybe you can't quite pull it off, but you kind of know what I'm talking about. Or a pizza. Cooking a frozen pizza. There we go. I don't have Steven to bounce stuff off. I was getting some blank looks on taco dinner. Cooking a pizza, frozen pizza. Well, I'd have to go to the store and get it or get it out of my freezer. I'd have to open it up. You got to cut the plastic off. Okay, Jim, cut the plastic off first. I won't ask how many people put the cardboard in the oven before. I see some giggles. I think there might be some of those. And then you cook it for the time. Right? We could talk our way through that, right? And if you really thought about it hard enough, you could probably come up with the right number of steps. But a nuclear submarine operator, we don't have any point. We just don't even know where to start. And so that's what the kingdom of God was like for these people. They didn't. It was something so foreign that we didn't have anywhere to start. And so Jesus would teach in parables. That was one of the reasons that he taught in parables. So let's read this. Listen. Stop there. What did he say? What do you think that means? Jesus is saying, hold on. Just wait. I'm saying something really good here. Now, if it's the Son of God, I don't know why Jesus would have to say that. He's God. He's like everything. He's the Word of God. Everything he says is important. But he says this. Listen, pay attention to me because this is important. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And that economy, that group of people would have known exactly what that meant. And they didn't have tractors. They had probably a bag, some kind of container, you know, walking in their sandals through the dirt. In a field that they've already, probably with oxen, have tilled up, prepared the field, gotten it ready, and then reaching into the bag as they walk and scattering the seed, right? It's not machinery, so they're physically doing this. Their feet are touching the ground. Their hands are gripping the seed. They're scattering it out. They're scanning the horizon, looking at how much seed is left, how much field is left. I want to make sure that I get this whole thing sown. And they want to get it done evenly so the plants aren't too tightly together, right? They've done this before. And most of the people would have known about that. And so he talks about this farmer. He's scattering his seed. He went out to sow his seed. Okay, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds, well, they came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and it grew and it produced a crop, multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Okay? So tell me, what's going on in this story? What do you guys notice? We just told you a story that most of you guys could be somewhat familiar with. You've probably scattered some grass seed, or at least you've planted them in rows. You know, what do we see happening here? Someone shout out something. Just obvious stuff. Not a one. Wow. Okay, well, I'll meet you guys back here next Sunday, and I hope you have a good week. So we've got, yes, sir. Seeds are being sown in different kinds of soils. Yep. What else is going on? There's outside influences. Oh yeah. Birds are coming. Birds are part of the equation. Yeah. Anybody else? Weeds are growing. Absolutely. Somebody else. These are the kind of questions you should ask yourself when you're reading the Word of God, by the way. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody else? What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What's the same? So we said there were some different soils. What's the same about all of these different soils or all these different scenarios? Seed's the same. Yep. Farmer's the same. The seed gets sown. The seed lands. Every one of them, you don't see the seed getting hung up in a tree or, you know, flying off or whatever. The seed lands. Now, it's not all in good soil. It's in different soils, but the seed lands. All right. So these are kind of questions that it's okay to ask these kind of things as you're reading the Word of God. And a lot more questions than that. God, what is the context here? What are you trying to teach me? Okay, then the verse 9 says this. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And I want to just clue you in that he's not talking about physical ears, okay? That's a holistic inclusion in that. It's talking about ears, but it's talking about if you've got the ability to hear and understand, then listen to this. Listen to this, because if you can hear this, if you can get this, something good is going to happen in your life. Now, we get the Wizard of Oz, pull back the curtain, right? Okay, we get this look with the scriptures. And that's one of the things that makes the scriptures so believable, is that they recorded things that weren't so flattering. We get to see the disciples, who of course were upstanding and perfect in all that they did, right? Never had a doubt, never, and that's not true at all. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him, because the disciples, they would have been like the in crowd, right? Jesus was kind of famous and crowds are flocking around him. The disciples would have been like, Yeah, we're with him all the time. Yep. We're backstage pass here. Yep. I mean, we love you guys, but, you know, we're special, right? You know, they were just kind of the in crowd. They were with Jesus, and they just thousands of people were flocking to Jesus. That has to make you feel kind of cool. They were involved with the miracle, feeding the 4,000 and feeding the 5,000. That was my bread. Yep. Did you remember when we passed out? You remember section C7? Basket guy right here. Yep. Oh, yeah. I cleaned up like two of them afterwards. Yeah, there was like 12 altogether, but I did two out of the 12. Right? They got the inside track. They're like, we're with Jesus. And then crowds go away. All right, we'll see you guys next week. We'll be doing more fishes and loaves. Okay? Peace. All right, be cool. And then you get this little glimpse behind the scene, and they're like, Jesus, what'd you really mean? Jesus, tell us what you got out of that. Right? Tell us your version of what you meant by that. And so they asked him about the parables, and he told them, listen to this line, you guys. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Hold on. Remember this line. The secret, everything that we view from this point forward, remember this line. The secret of the kingdom of God has been given. Hold on. Jesus is telling them behind closed doors, pull back the curtain. There's the guys standing with Jesus. Yeah, we didn't get it either. Yeah, all the crowds, they left. And sorry, we didn't know either. What did you mean by that? Jesus is saying, listen, I'm giving you guys something today that they're not getting. I'm giving you guys a secret. I'm giving you a secret of the kingdom of God. What I'm about to explain to you is a secret for you guys to do something powerful in your lives. And I'm just praying that this unlocks something for you guys today. I'm praying for our church today that this is stirs something in our hearts, because Jesus said these words. These aren't our words. Jesus said, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they might be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. And at first glance, that's only part of Isaiah 9, I think it is, that Jesus was quoting there. It sounds like Jesus didn't want people to be saved. It was actually a statement of mercy, because we're responsible for what we know. We're responsible for what we reject. And so if Jesus can reveal truth, the people that have hungry hearts will dig their way through it, right? If you dropped your coin, you dropped it, well, not a coin, we wouldn't do it for a coin. You dropped a really old coin that was worth a lot of money, and you dropped it in a pile of sawdust or something, like, you'd be digging through there. And that's what he was doing with these parables. He would put a truth in there, and he would leave it for the people that had hungry hearts. And it would just look like a pile of sawdust to the people that had proud and haughty and hard hearts. And then it's an act of mercy, because then they wouldn't be judged for that knowledge and revelation. There's a lot that has been written on this fact, the mercy of God, even in judgment. This is a statement that I had read. Jesus gives sufficient light and revelation for anyone to come to him, yet he does not give too much light that a person might not refuse to come to him. To those who harden their heart, God allows them to do that without overwhelming them to the point of destroying their will. What he's saying is if God revealed himself when in his totality, like, everybody would have to, like, they couldn't not come to him. He's so good, and he's so amazing and so powerful that God gives us these bits of revelation to see where our hearts are at. Moving on. Jesus said to them, this verse 13, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? Now we get into the meat of this. Here we go. Ready? Take a deep breath. All right. Shrug it off. You guys still look like you're sleepy. Okay. Preach quickly then. All right. The farmer sows the word. The farmer sows the word. Now, you're going to have to give me a little latitude, because I believe in this parable is really written about people responding to the gospel and to the word of God. But I believe with all of my heart that this happens every day in our hearts. That it's not just responding to the gospel kind of on the outset, like the one time, you know, hearing the gospel for the first time. I believe that every time we hear the word of God, every time the word of God is planted in our hearts, guys, this story is about you. Point your bony finger at somebody, say it's about you. Nobody wants to be accused of having a bony finger. It's about you. You are one of the, you are intimately acquainted. You are fully immersed in one of these four categories today. Right now, today, not last week, not a year ago, not when I was younger, today, right now, in this moment, you're one of these next four categories that we're going to talk about. This is you. We're talking about you. We're talking about me. The farmer sows the word, and so, you know, God sows the word, the preacher sows the word, however you want to interpret that, depending on, you know, how you read into that. Regardless, the seed is the word of God. Okay, the seed that's going out, the seed that's consistent in all of these soils, the seed that's consistent through this story, it's the word of God. And I'm just going to say, when we're reading the word, when we're hearing the word, when we're in our car driving and someone's preaching, you know, on the radio, wherever it is, wherever that word of God is landing in our hearts, that's the seed of the word of God. We're talking about sowing and reaping in your life today. Sowing and reaping. God's the sower, or through the preacher, or if we're reading the word of God, you know, it's the word of God. God is sowing that into our hearts as we read his word, as you read your devotions. It's the word of God that is the seed. The seed comes and gets planted in our hearts. All right, soil number one. Jesus is explaining this. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Have you guys ever come to church? Please don't raise your hand for this, because you're going to make me feel bad. Have you ever come to church and you've been excited to come to church and you drank your coffee and you ate your donut and you rubbed shoulders with the person next to you and you had a good old time and the message was preached, the word of God was delivered, and you walked out of here and someone's like, what was the service about? Yeah, exactly. Now, I'm not saying that there were actual demons in your heart taking that out, but I am saying that that seed, it didn't get planted into our hearts. Now, I'm just going to believe that God's so good that by his grace, he kind of shields some of those seeds. And maybe you're not hard-hearted, but see, this is on the path. Think of, you know, a trail at Tsechi Hollow. Think of, you know, our paths these days that we would walk on and drive on would be sidewalks and highways. Think about sowing the seed out there, right? It's not going to germinate. It's not going to get in the right conditions for there to be growth. And so Satan comes along and steals it away. People don't understand. It doesn't take place. It just disappears. And so I would say, be cautious when you're reading your devotion, because I do this all the time. I'll read, I'll close my Bible, and I'll be like, what did I just read? Anyone ever done that? Not you guys. Come on. It's a condition of our heart. And I want my heart to be fully awakened. Here's one of the things that I do, so that doesn't happen. One of the things that I do often, I'll pray, Holy Spirit, I'm about to read the Word of God. Awaken my heart. Awaken my mind. Right? Get me in the right place where I can hear from you. Open my eyes to see what you have in your word. When you come to church, when you walk in, so that Satan doesn't steal the word out of your heart, so that it doesn't fall on a path. Because some of you guys today are the path. You're like, 5 minutes later, you're like, what did he just say? You're the path today. Your heart is hard. It's there's no seed getting in. You're just coming to church. You're just doing your thing. And yeah, God love you. You know, bless your heart, right? But you're going to walk out of here unchanged. The word of God is going to come and drop and just bounce along in your heart, little heart. And it's not going to root in. So that farmer, before he went out to sow that seed, he dug up that field. When you're coming to church, stop arguing with your wife and dig up the heart, your feel of your heart. Like, just, God, I want to learn today. I want to grow today. I want what I experienced today to be of you. Help everything else to fall away and help what you have for me to be planted into my heart. Let the word of God get into my heart today. Can we do that? No. Okay. Next, soil number two. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Say joy. Joy. Man, this is good stuff. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Shallow soil. When we bought our farm place out there, which was just a part of a field, Ralph Schmidt, who's Alan's dad, came over and said, "Oh, I see you bought Rock Hill." Sure, that wasn't on the paper, I don't know. And what we have found out since is there are more rocks per square inch on our property than there is in a quarry, I think. There, we took the backhoe last year and dug a trench to get out to Jim and Kathy's camper because they were just going to park there for a little bit and we were just going to throw a hose out or something, but that turned into a monster project. So in this one little trench, all of a sudden we ended up with a pile of rocks that was about the width of these front chairs and from them to me and about this high. And some of them were, they were large, like, you know, like bigger than the speakers there, bigger, you know, like large, like the skid loader could barely move them. One we could, the backhoe couldn't even budge. We just went around that one. And so I was having a conversation with Alan the other day and a couple months ago probably, and he was talking about the field behind my place and, because he dug some, he started farming that a few years ago, and so he dug some rocks out with the backhoe, and it's like when you're on a lake, it all looks the same, right? But if you know that there's rocks underneath the surface, right, it all looks the same, but right underneath the surface, you don't want to be driving your boat in that place because you'll rip the bottom of it off and you'll sink your boat, right? Well, the field looks the same way as well. But Alan was saying in a really dry year, you can look out in the field and you can see all these circles. And it's not aliens. What is it? It's really shallow soil because there's a huge rock right beneath that. And not a rock, a rock, right? And there's these huge rocks right underneath the surface, but the ground looks good and he goes over it with the digger and whatever, and whatever he does, I don't know, plants it or sows a seed, whatever he does. But when that wheat or whatever, soybeans grows up and it gets to be a really dry year, in this little circle, that starts to shrivel up because it doesn't have the root that everything else does. There's a shallowness to it. But it sprang up. It came up. Right? It grew in our lives. How many of us, we heard something, a preacher said, like, dude, that was so good. Nudge, nudge. We're like, that's awesome. And we receive it with joy. We're like, yes. And I watch your faces, and you're like, yes. And you walk out of here, and it never got rooted in. It stuck at the, woo. Right? And it's about 3 inches deep in your heart. And as soon as Monday shows up with all the Monday stuff that Monday likes to bring to your life, you're like, bruh. And you don't even, it's gone. It's shriveled right up. See, that word wants to dig deep into our heart and bust through. And so we need to dig those rocks out, just like he did with his backhoe. We've got to excavate those rocks of bitterness, those rocks of pride, those rocks of selfishness, those rocks of false importance, those rocks of I can do it my way, those rocks of I know better. Man, do we want to read the Word of God or do we want the Word of God to read us? Come on. And those roots go down. See, for fruit to happen, roots go down, fruit comes up. Roots go down and begins to change us at a fundamental level on the inside of our hearts. It begins to root into places that are dark and forgotten and begins to just permeate all those parts of our heart. We're changed from the inside and then the fruit comes on the outside. But when we don't let that Word of God get down in, you're like, man, that brother, that was, oh, I remember when he said that? That was so good. And later on, God's speaking about, do you remember that word? Yep. Praise the Lord. That means you need to change in that area. What? Hey, let's have some burgers, all right? And we keep it shallow. We're excited about it. Doesn't mean that we didn't love it, but that's all the further we're going. I'm not letting that word root into my heart because that would mean I'd have to change. And boy, if you really knew, see, there's the rocks. Now we're standing on that rock, and it's not the rock of Christ. It's an ugly rock that's buried right below our hearts. Dig up those rocks and let the Word of God root down in. Sometimes that hurts, but that root grows deep and then it produces fruit. All right, third soil. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life,
The deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Weeds and thorns are constantly being sown into our life. The word of God is sown intentionally. It seems like weeds just show up when the wind blows, right? The weeds always are just present to be distracting to us, and they want to choke out the life of God. Marnie and I we've had a garden for a number of years now, and I'm great at talking about the garden, and Marnie's great at weeding the garden. Well, when we were building our house, there were some years where we would plant, but it was just, we were working all the time building the house, and a couple of those years, the weeds just grew up. And there's this one year, I mean, it's chest high. We're walking through there looking for one meager carrot. Come on, tell me there's a potato here somewhere. Because we had planted it and we knew it was growing. We had watered it, but then it just got to be too much. None of you have ever done that. Thank you, Jesus. I'll just tell you the story so you'll know what it's like, right? Because you guys are all faithful to weed your gardens well. Yeah, well, I don't know if we found anything. Like, it just choked the life out of stuff. And that's what happens in our heart. We receive it. Right? In its good soil. It's good soil. Come on. It's good soil. It roots down in. It starts growing. But then we get distracted. Then our hearts get tugged in other directions. The worries of this life. Can I get a witness? Come on. Just me have worries in this life? Nobody else? But the worries of this life want to grow up in our hearts. Come on, listen to me. The weed seeds are always coming in. Weed seeds are always coming in. Wouldn't it be great if we just went out in our garden? We're like, I just picked these carrots last week. And now there's a whole nother, like, weed seeds do that. Good seeds don't do that. Weed seeds are always coming in there. When you pluck out one seed of worry in your life, guess what? It's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to be five more of those buggers. Be diligent to pluck those things out, because it's not just that we're worrying about something. It takes root in our heart and it starts to grow up alongside. Wait a minute. It starts to grow up alongside. It starts to get the same stature as the Word of God. And hold on. The worries in our life, it's not just that we've got worries, but they start to take root and they start to get just as big and prominent in the garden of our hearts as the Word of God is. This should be a big red flashing sign. Like we all got worries. You got worries, I got worries, my dog's got worries, everybody's got worries, right? Pluck those buggers out. It's when the worries of life start to look larger than the seed of God in our life that we got problems, Jack. Pull those things out, root them up, because it's going to choke the Word of God and we're going to be unfruitful. The deceitfulness of wealth. Man, we just talked about generosity here. Generosity is a guard for our heart, knowing that just one verse. Life is not found, Zoe life, eternal life, abundant life. It's not found in abundance of things. It's not found in wealth. You're not going to find what you're looking for with a bigger paycheck. Come on, guys. You're not going to find what you're searching for in your heart with wealth. That's one of the weeds that grows up, Jesus said, and the desires for other things, the desires of our heart. God wants our heart. He wants us to be enamored with Him. And when we start pursuing these desires, it's not that it's wrong to have desires, but it's when those desires get rooted into the core of our heart and they start growing up and they start becoming as large as the seed of God, it's going to start choking out the seed of God in our life. Last soil. Others, like seed sown on good soil. And it doesn't say it here, but it's implied that the weeds are plucked out, pulled out. They hear the word and they accept it and they produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. We hear the word. We read it in our devotional. It spurs something in our heart. We take it to heart. We listen to it. And it gets rooted into our heart. It says that we hear the word and we accept it. Okay, I agree with that. And we produce a crop. But I just want to tell you about that word, accept it. We accept it. We accept it. Now just hold on, youth. I did this Wednesday night in youth. So just hold on a second, youth group. Who would accept this dollar? Who would accept it? Who would accept it? Who would accept it? Okay. So who would accept this dollar? Who will accept this dollar? I'm looking for someone that will accept this dollar. Who will accept this dollar? Yes. You see, what you guys were giving me was agreement. That's not what accept means. It means to receive, to take up, to take upon one's self. How many times have we read the word of God and agreed? Amen. And that's part of it. We've got to have agreement. And then we stop. Grab a hold of that word. Take it into my heart. Say, God, whatever that word says, whatever you're nudging in my spirit, I receive that. And whatever else needs to go because of that word, whatever else needs to, if I need to forgive, if I need to repent, if I need to stand firm, if I need to persevere, if I need to rejoice, whatever that word is telling me, I accept it. I don't just agree with it. I agree, God, that's a good word. He's like, okay, accept it. Yep, I did. Thumbs up. No, accept it. Yep, I did. That's a great word, God. Thanks for writing that. No, accept it. Take it unto yourself. Personalize it. This is the word of God for you to transform your heart. Accept versus agree. We don't want to just agree with it. All right, so we're going to just a recap here. You've got four soils. You've got a hard, impenetrable heart, where Satan just comes and steals that word right away. You've got shallowness where like, yes, man, that was so good. I listened to 43 videos today. Man, oh, this third one was awesome. The fifth one was awesome. Ninth one was awesome. But it's very shallow. It's not taking root in your life, in your heart. It's not digging into the deep places of your heart and life. The weedy soil, oh man, it's growing. The word of God is growing up, man. But then other things are getting just as big as the word of God. We're just adding the word of God to a crop of weeds, and it's not going to produce. You got to pull the weeds out. Man, hire someone if you need to. I'll give you $5 to read the word of God and yell at me. I don't know. Get those weeds out. Let the Holy Spirit convict your heart. And then we've got good soil. Listen to this. This is key. The seed is full of life and power. It's waiting to unleash everything that God has for that. It's locked up in that seed. You guys ever seen an acorn? Nobody's ever seen an acorn. An acorn, an oak nut? There's a forest inside that acorn. The DNA is in there for that to grow a tree and for that tree to drop more acorns and for those to grow up. Like, it's all in that acorn. Same with the Word of God. The DNA of heaven is in every seed of the Word of God. But what determines how that seed affects your life is the type of soil. See, you're never going to produce life in you. You can't. You need the seed of the Word of God. But you can dig up the ground of your heart. You can say, I'm ready. You can say, God, do it in me. You can say, I agree and I receive that. Whatever I need to change, whatever needs to happen, I say yes to that. I'm giving you a willing heart, God, to work in. And then all of a sudden, the things of God are going to be taking place. There's a harvest inside every seed of the Word of God. Our last slide today. Do we want information or do we want application? Remember I said, remember this. Listen, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Jesus said that before he explained all this. These are Jesus' words. Does he know what he's talking about? Yes or no? Say secret. God's given you a secret today. Man, I've read the Bible for 20 years and I don't know. It doesn't really do anything. And I'm just kind of the same mean old nasty person I was 20 years ago. Yeah, amen. God, stir up my heart. Holy Spirit, open my eyes and my mind. God, I want to have fallow ground. I want to dig up the rocks of bitterness and unbelief and humanism and logic and just hard-hearted pride in my life. God, I want to, as I'm sitting in the service today, Lord, I want to listen to the words that are spoken. I want them to root into my heart. Everything that's in the Word of God, I want to be planted in there. God, whatever needs to change in me, change it in me. Let this Word of God plant down deep and grow up. Let my heart be receptive. That should be our prayer. That's how we dig up that soil. That's how, you know, and the Holy Spirit will nudge. Hey, did you call them yet and tell them you're sorry and ask for forgiveness? God, I just want to be like you, right? Have you talked to somebody about this other dark area of your life? Lord, just show me your word, right? It's about getting rooted in and letting God take root by his word in our heart, and then he'll transform our lives. Amen? It's the secret of the word of God and the kingdom of God. Well, let's pray today. God, I just pray for, Lord, deep, rich soil in our hearts. And I pray, God, that your word would root in, go down deep, take ownership of those places of our heart with the root of the word of God. And then I pray that the word would grow up in our lives and produce fruit, God. Externally, outward fruit, 30, 60, 100 times what was sown, God. Magnificent multiplied fruit in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. You are dismissed.